Hello, and welcome back to The Bitter Jurors, a queer Survivor superfan podcast here to talk to you about Survivor 45, a season of Survivor that we actually don't have much to complain about so far. This week was an interesting one. Jeff on fire with Jeff Probst, but also on fire with the wax idol. I did not come up with the joke. I was like, I'm just going to see if it happens. But yeah, we had some funny tribal council shenanigans this week, a lot to get into. And as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, who I hope are better at coming up with a joke about the candle, Derek Reining and Sam Stanish.
Well, it's on fire with Jake O'Kane also.
Oh yeah, there was a lot of fire this episode.
I was gonna say, we're really burning the candle at both ends. That does not
there make
any sense in this context.
It's about a candle.
Yeah, that's true.
Candle in the wind. And we cannot do this alone. We are so, so excited. We want her on the pod for quite some time now, and it is such a pleasure to be joined by a contestant for Survivor 42 and a current contestant on the challenge, a franchise I know nothing about, but I'm told she's doing quite well, Chanel Howell.
Thank you guys for the intro. I'm so excited to be chatting with you guys. I know I feel like you guys have tried to get me on the pod before, and so I'm happy that we are finally here. And what better season to talk about than 45, because it's been so good so far.
Period. I feel like for some reason, 42, we were like the most thirsty for you guys. I don't know. Because you guys are so fun. That's why.
Yeah, it was very fun. It was a very fun season. It's so interesting. This is the first season of Survivor that I'm watching since 42. I feel like I needed to take a break from Survivor after filming it. And so it's like really, it's good to have gotten back into it at such a good season, because I heard 43 and 44 were just like not great. And so I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not. No idea. But it's nice to be getting back into it with a really fresh, exciting, fun, dynamic season.
Yeah, like I think we were pretty generally like feeling like 44 a lot, but like with 44, you had these great moments and these great casts, but they felt like, I think our recurring complaint was it felt like the twists and the little things being added in were like really interfering with the energy of the game and the energy of the cast. And this season so far, it really feels like, you know, those things have been present, but it feels like, I think 90-minute episodes helps because we're getting to see more of everyone. But this is the first season in the new era, I feel like, really, where I'm like, okay, I'm you know what, these twists I'm not a big fan of, but all the time, but it's not interfering with the cast as much, which feels really good.
Yeah, I feel like even from a character perspective, I don't know that much about the seasons, but I feel like 44 was heavily kumbaya, like I love you, and like and like frankly, I hate that kind of Survivor. Like I feel like we actually have like villain, so to speak, that we can root for on this season. We have like much more dynamic, not characters, because I feel like Carolyn was a very different character, and Jam Jam was a very different character, but like I feel like on this one I just see like more characters that are willing to be cutthroat and like just do different shit that I love to see. And so I like this because it's like very much less kumbaya, I love you. It's more like, let's play, let's game hard, let's game from the beginning, let's start gaming. And so, yeah, I'm excited.
Chanel, is there a level of prestige among Survivor contestants where you're kind of like, where you're like, oh my God, she's from a really good season. Like, I don't know, is there some kind of thing you can create?
No.
And then people ask you what season you're from and you're like, I'm actually from Survivor 42. Yeah, it's, people say it's the best of the new era. It's not a big deal. But...
No, there's not that prestige in the community. I think like, and a lot of people won't say this, but sometimes people determine in the community, sometimes people determine your value by how well you placed. And it's a really, I think, dark kind of almost ugly side of like the behind the scenes of, you know, Survivor alum. And a lot of people, if they don't do well, they carry that burden, right? Which is like, how do I assign my value or my place in this community based on like how well I did, right? Where is my face on the flyer for this party? Is it the beginning because I won, or I was top this, or is it at the end? Like there's a lot of nuance to it. And so I think it's very much less season dependent and very much more like placement dependent. But personally, I don't I don't value people that way. I don't look at people that way, but I think that that is a very silent thing that does happen in the community. You guys are getting the tea right now. Damn.
Yeah, already, right off the top.
We just dive in.
Yeah. We're like, Survivor 45, like, what is that? Who cares? Like, we're here to really
We're here to just talk.
The deep dive. Yes. But yeah, that all makes sense to me. Like you were saying, 45 has been a lot of fun so far. I've been rewatching Pearl Islands. Oh. And talk about a season where everyone is like kind of just like an asshole. Like, so I agree with you, Chanel. It's like nice to have people to root against that. I mean, I think that's why I love Keturah so much, because she's just like, I'm going to tell you how much I dislike this other person, like very directly. It's refreshing. I just love her so much.
No, it's so refreshing. I'm fully hoping that we get another. This is going to be so contested. I'm so messy right now. Wow. What's happening? I fully hope we get another, like, Brenda, Dawn, you need to take out your teeth. That's what I want. That's
the level of hatred that you're looking for in season. Yes.
I'm down with that. I mean, I think that's the one moment that my fiance always brings up. He's like, I loved when that happened. I was like, that. I guess too. I get that. Yeah. We are kind of overdue for like a big explosion that doesn't have to do with like jury votes or like winners, you know? We've already had plenty of that.
No gameplay, strictly personal.
Yes. Wouldn't that be so nice? Yeah.
Wow, this is going to be a shit show. I can already tell.
I mean, we're called bitter jurors. I feel like people should know what they're in for when they respond to any of our DMs. It's like, you know what you got into.
Yeah.
Chanel, are there any people on this season that you're particularly rooting for or against?
I'm rooting for Kelly. Love her. She's so sweet. I met her at an event over the summer. And so definitely rooting for her. I like Emily. She's a little diabolical, a little bit unhinged, but I like her energy. She's giving old school Survivor. Dee has proven herself recently to be very smart. And so I like her too. And then I'm really happy and excited for Bruce. You know, like he's very much given a dream that every alumni, I think, hopes for is like the opportunity to play again. And obviously he didn't really play a first time, but I'm really excited for him and I'm happy for him. And I hope that he, you know, is really excited to have, you know, the dream twice, to be a part of two different casts and two different experiences. Mm-hmm. I'm not rooting for anyone though. Like, not yet.
Yeah, it's a little too early for that. I agree. It's kind of, we talked about this preseason, but Bruce is like really in a great position in a lot of ways, because he was out there, so people know who he is, but he like clearly wasn't able to play at his full capacity. He wasn't able to give us the full Bruce experience. So I hope if anything he gets out of this season, if not, you know, like winning or like doing really well, also just like getting to actually play Survivor in a way that is, I mean, knock on wood, not marred by like a medevac situation.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's so fun because, like, you know, he was such an early out on his season. We just get to see him, like, his character potential. Like, God, if he had stuck around on Tika, like, how much crazier that would have been. So I'm so happy we get to see him here, but he brings back all this what ifs of, you know, that we don't get to see with really early exits on the show of, like, does we actually get to see this person who went out in the first episode, how wacky they can be. Yeah. And it's leading to some really fun stuff, as we mentioned, with Keturah and everything. So I'm really excited to see where he goes.
We're actually like seeing why they cast him in the first place, as opposed to just like a tragic story in the first half of the first episode where but now it's like, oh, like obviously he should be on television.
He's so dynamic. I don't know, sometimes I'm like, I don't know Bruce, I've never met him, but sometimes I'm like, is this his authentic personality or is he just like really like being cheesy for the cameras? And so I don't know, but props to him because he does have a personality for reality TV. So.
Yes.
And you mentioned Dee as well. I am at full ownership preseason. I was not sold. I was like, why is she here? Every single episode since then has been a a light, I guess. I just anytime she's on screen, I feel like every episode so far, she's had a really funny scene, or like she's always noticing what everyone else is doing, and she's so like fun. But like she's so like, she's playing the game really hard, but she's like having a really good time with it. And I just really, really love her on the season, and I never expected to from the preseason. I feel like I've never been so like, out of like off with like with a prediction of how someone was going to be on TV. Like she's just like is alive out there. I love it.
Yeah, I didn't watch or look at any of the preseason like stuff. I have no idea what people's like press their EPKs or you know their electronic press kits where they have their like this is why I'm playing and this is where I'm from. I don't watch those things, and so I have no concept. But I feel like from what I've seen, she looks like she's rock solid as a like strong competitor. And then also she seems to be like very intuitive, which I think is really great for this game. And so I think she's a great balance of the two, and it's just going to be time that we have to watch her over time to see, you know, what her social game kind of boils up to. Cause I know she's had a scene this episode where I'm like, girl, why did you do that? Which is like, why did you, well, I mean, we'll get into it, but why did you like give the boys the hammer? Like you should have found the idol, threw the hammer in the ocean and put it in your back pocket. Like, I don't know what's going on here. So,
I agree with all the D stuff. I was hoping that that's where I was going. D and Julie just like snatching up an idol, and then I didn't think about throwing it in the ocean. But I love just the dramatics of that. You know, it's like we can't just like bury this somewhere. We're gonna like fling it into the ocean.
Chuck it.
both of these idols, it didn't play out this way, but I was very aware of the idea that someone else could find it, and then the other person just may never have their vote back, or like would probably get it back at the merge. But like there's both of them were findable by other people in the show.
I this is again right, me loving old school Survivor. Like how iconic would it have been for someone else to have found the idol, hit it, and let their teammate be without a vote for literally like into the merge. And so, like that's crazy, but that would be iconic gameplay. I'm sure production would have done something to give someone their vote back, whatever. But I was really hoping to see a shining moment from the women, and was disappointed with their move, to be honest.
I'm like curious now, that's like making me, I don't want to get like too conspiratorial. Maybe production was like, you need to know if you take this, like whoever like found this idol, they knew it was Austin, right? Who had found the Beware advantage. Austin won't have a vote. Like, are you okay with that? But I don't know. Maybe they didn't, and maybe it was just like a spur of the moment. Oh my gosh, like we don't want to like make an enemy with these two guys right now moment. I would love to hear from them after the season about what their thought process was.
Well, D had a confessional, and it did seem in the show that it was Julie's decision. Like Julie just took the axe or hammer and ran off and gave it to Austin right away. And D had a confessional where she was like, we should have kept that. But then she was also like, but ultimately this early in the game, it's better to have a strong alliance than like an idol or whatever. And she was like, this is a way to prove trust without like voting together. Now that we've like shown that we're actually working together and like giving this hammer over, maybe they'll trust us more without having to go to tribal.
Which I get, but like they have already seen that Drew and Austin are like
true,
but like buddy buddy behind their backs, and like we're actively trying to hide it from them. And so it's like I think in general building trust is better than having an idol, but like clearly these guys weren't interested in looping you in on it, and were really messy about it. Like after the whole like Drew trying to run away, them making up the lie about Sifu, like it would be worth considering, like, is it just worth just getting it out of their hands? And even if you don't play it yourself, just like making sure those guys don't have it.
The thing is, I think a good player sees that situation and sees more than two options. It's not building trust or having an idol, right? It's you can build trust by helping them look for it, have the idol in your back pocket, and still contribute to, like, you can still have an alliance and build trust with them, even though you already took the idol, right?
Yeah.
And still, like, yes, that is the ultimate show of trust, but if they didn't know that that was actually happening, right, that the option was, like, hey, I could show you this, or I could pocket it for myself, right? There's, like, I don't know. I'm not explaining this well, but you not giving them the idol is not building trust, right? It's that you didn't find the idol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they won't know.
Right. And then maybe later in the game you go, oh shit, I just found the idol. And you make it seem like you're just now finding it, right, when you're about to use it. But I don't know. Like, I think that there weren't just two options in that scenario. And I think that they limit it to two options. We can either do this and give them the idol, or we can, like, you know, go against our alliance and, like, soil the trust we already have. And I don't think that there were two options. I think that there were many options that a good player would have explored.
Mm-hmm. Especially since this wasn't like, oh my God, we're going to go to tribal in like 1 second. We have to go do this now. Like, it was pre-immunity challenge. They weren't even scrambling at all.
Yep.
And it just seemed like Jay, Maya showing up in the middle of them finding it is like caused a lot of panic. But yeah, you would think that like Julie would wait until she and Dee could connect and decide what to do with it without just like running off and instantly giving it to Austin, when him having a vote by the end of that afternoon or not isn't actually changing anything. And so like there was a lot of time to like decide what they were gonna do with the hammer and like, or like go find the idol by themselves, like that kind of thing.
Can I ask a question? Because I don't know if I feel fully have context on this. Why is Jay, Maya, and Sifu, why are they on the outs?
I feel like, at least this is my perspective, I feel like it's mostly just because there are these like two really strong pairs, and from what I can tell, it seems like Julie and Drew get along really well, so it just seems like a what's the word, like just process of elimination. And I also feel like, I don't know, Sifu trying to find the idol was probably bad for him, but I don't know why Jay, Maya in particular. Maybe she just isn't talking to people, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Jemaya, with someone in the preseason, I remember kind of us being worried that she's like, there's young people on the season, but she also just like, she seems very young. Like, Drew's clearly able to like make a connection with Julie, which is something I was hoping for Julie. Yes, mother. But Jemaya, for some reason, I don't like, we haven't got it. Like, we saw a lot of Sifu in the premiere, like being kind of wacky, and maybe people are like, all right, we like this guy, but don't want him in our alliance. Whereas Jemaya might, it just seems like she didn't click with people, like, got for it. Whatever reason. That's all I can tell. They haven't given us a reason concretely, certainly.
Yeah, like, I feel like Reba is a tribe that I just know the least about. Like, I don't fully understand the dynamics of the relationships or how they came together, like, because they obviously haven't lost yet. So that's helpful context, because I, like, couldn't really put it together.
Yeah, I think last episode we got a scene with Julie and Drew talking, and both of them had come up with the same four-person alliance that, like, they wanted to go forward with. But that was the only explanation that we got.
And going back to the Dee and Julie like decision of it all, I wonder if they would have been more willing to steal it if they knew a swap was about to happen, because then it's like, we might not be on this beach again, so we should maybe grab this while we can. And then it's like, they'll be too busy thinking about the swap to care about an idol. It's tough. Were you guys anticipating a swap on 42? I don't remember.
No, there was no way that a swap was we didn't think that there was a swap that was going to happen. I don't think it's so long ago. Like, I feel like
that was two shows ago, Derek.
Lifetimes ago. Like, it's, I'll get back to your question, but it's so funny because, like, when people ask me about Survivor 42, I'm like, oh, I have to, like go deep down in the archives to be like, oh my God, I'm still like reeling on the social dynamics of the challenge. I don't remember, but I think what I do remember is that we were anticipating merge. We're like, all right, like, are we merge? Are we merge? Are we merge? It wasn't like, are we tribe swapping? It was like, are we merge?
Right. Okay. That makes more sense. And so maybe that's just something that wasn't on their mind. Yeah. But I'm so excited for a swap. I know that's, there was maybe a time when we were like a little too swap happy on Survivor. Like, more than one swap is a little much.
I agree.
But this is just like a breath of fresh air. I'm so excited to see these like new dynamics, especially when like the casting of the new era, I think, is what we all agree is like the best part of the new era. And so it's like, I want to see more people like interacting with each other.
I actually think, well, back to our first conversation, I think we need more villains in the new
yes.
era. I think casting super fans, everyone's so like, my edit, am I going to be nice? Like, I want, dare I say it, I want more Russell hands. I want to, like, burning socks in the fire. Like, you know, I want more villains, but yeah, casting is a good
Russell one. And Brenda, the captains for season 46.
I'm so unhinged right now. Yeah.
It's just in the air from House of Villains, you know. We're all just in the mood for like a full villainry. I agree. So it's like maybe a swap would help. I don't even know what the word foment that. Like maybe people will become more villainous when it's like they have to be a little more duplicitous. Like, oh yeah, like I actually really want to work with you more than the people I just spent like 6 days with.
Yeah.
There's a lot to be excited for when it comes to swaps.
Yeah, and like let me just say 6 days out there is a lifetime. Like you feel like you are soulmates with these people, like you are bonded when you spend that kind of time with someone. And so I think it'll be very interesting to see like what the swap does. Like, is it easily breakable those already, you know, built alliances, or are people going to just be very dynamic and fluid?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited. I think that the swap is, I like Chanel saying, like may help get some more villains going, because in a merge, there's so many things happening where you can kind of be like you will betray someone you've been working with for a long time, but you could be like, that's the way the votes fell. Like that's what that I couldn't control it. But in a swap, it's like you're actively deciding, you're swapped on with like these two other people from another tribe, and you're like, I actually want to work with them, and that you're not forced into anything. You're just choosing to like betray someone for like your game or whatever. But I think it's gonna be fun. I hope it's fun.
Yeah, me too. Yeah,
and I think it was perfectly timed, because obviously we got to see enough of these original tribes to see them, you know, how these dynamics were unfolding. We got to see a very interesting vote from Lulu, and this is coming off right off the, you know, the tales of a big blindside. You know, Sean's gonna feel nuts. Caleb and Emily are close, but like, will they turn on each other? Like, it's having these three go into these established dynamics could potentially be really interesting. And so I think the timing on it was really good. I was so excited. And then it was like, next time, I was like, yes, this is the perfect time, because it would have started to get really stale on Reba and Bello.
Yes.
I think if we got one more episode, especially if Lulu lost again.
Yeah. Impossible to continue with the three-person tribe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we saw it at 41, right?
Yeah.
I was already kind of like, I was kind of already bored. I was like, we get it. Like we even the blind side helped, but I was just kind of like, let's see what happens next. I think it's also nice because I feel like we are so used to seeing swaps after four eliminations. Like I feel like that's just the general like wisdom or whatever. So after three is really refreshing, and I love swaps. They're good. One a season is good, like we said.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want to overdo it. Yeah, what else about? Well, I guess we're starting to talk about Caleb and Emily. I'm so sad to lose Sabaya. Just is like really crushing me. I mean, it was such an amazing episode. I feel like we always talk about this as like, oh, I just wish it was like such an amazing episode, and then someone I am not as in love with gets to go home, and then it's like the cherry on top. So it was really upsetting to lose Sabaya. Do we think she overplayed? I feel like
no.
what's her diagnosis?
Yeah, she a little bit. I think Sabaya played a great game. I'd love to see her come back and play another season. I think she's astute. She's an intuitive, right? Like I think she's strong, a great player, but she might have gotten a little bit too comfy in her position, which is very easy to do out there, like very easy. In telling Emily her plans much sooner than she should, right? Sabaya's already clocked that she doesn't trust her. Sabaya's already clocked that she's smart. When you're on the bottom, you are naturally just more scrappy and willing to fight for your life, because everything is like, it's me or you. And so I question her decision to tell Emily so early on that like she could possibly target Caleb. And I also think that she targeted her allies way too soon. I think day six, or I don't know what day it is in the game, 5, 6, 7. It's too soon to target your allies. I mean, Caleb has such a big personality and is so charismatic that if you see it, other people are going to see it, especially at Merge, and he is going to be a meat shield for you. People like Caleb in the new era don't make it deep into the game, right? They don't. And so I think that that was a miscalculation on Sabaya's end, and I think that that was her only mistake. Otherwise, I think Sabaya's a great player. I think she's really smart. She just maybe got a little bit too comfy and told Emily, someone who was at the bottom, she gave her scraps to work with way too early, right? In a situation like that, you want to give someone info 10, 15, 20 minutes before a vote.
Yeah, I feel like maybe, I know this is, I don't know, I almost want to like blame the idol like for her misstep. I feel like if she doesn't have to like play around not having a vote, and then I feel like reading in the moment, oh, by the way, you could like make this idol way more powerful, you know, just by giving away your vote, like who cares, just like do it. It's like, I understand why she made that decision in the moment, as frustrating it as it is as a viewer. You're like, no, you don't understand, you don't have all the information that I do. But I'm curious to know, or I don't know, this will always be a what if, of like, what if she hadn't found a Beware advantage? Would she have been willing to like make a big move like this early if she didn't? I don't know either.
I think that too many variables is a recipe for disaster. One variable you can work with, right, which is like, I'm gonna do a blindside, right? This is deviating from my normal plan. You can work with that one. But two variables, I'm gonna do a blindside and I don't have a vote, it's a recipe for disaster, because now you have those two variables plus the third variable of, is everyone else voting how they said? And this is what fucked me up in my season, is I played with too many variables, right? It was number one, I don't have a vote. Number two, it was I was trying to blindside High and Lydia. And number three was, I cannot fully account for where everyone else's vote's going. So if you're going to play this game, guys, beware. This is a hot take. I literally just formulated this just now in real time.
Exclusive.
Play with one variable at a time, because there is an inherent second variable embedded, which is other people's votes, right? So if you have too many variables, it's too much opportunity for things to go wrong.
Yes, women in STEM.
Yeah. I mean, just losing votes is something that is, it seems very here to stay. Seems like it's going to be a thing that Survivor does for the foreseeable future. But it does feel like something that totally throws everything out of order. It feels like if everybody had their votes last time, Brandon would still be here and Emily would be gone. Like, so it's just like a completely different game for the rest of the game if that changes. And it's all based on who has a vote, and like you can't even rely on everybody being able to vote anymore.
Yeah,
I wish production was less like take away the vote happy, because I think it's generally more we all agree it's more interesting when people vote and we get to see these things play out. And yeah, Chanel, I agree that like I think up until tribal, like those were all of Sabaya's big mistakes. Obviously we know it was a mistake for her to not to not vote, but it's something I can accept, that this is just where the game is at now, and it's just going to take people time to adjust to this, of like, I find that these forcing people into choices that they're doing, we talked about this last season a lot, there's a lot of forcing people into choices, it forces smart players to make not so optimal decisions, especially when it's in the moment. And it's like, it's going to take, the smart players should hopefully take the time to eventually figure this out, and, you know, we'll figure out how to play the game. But like Sabaya, like if she had just done nothing, if this constraint on the idol had not been there, I don't think she would have played it, but she would have had a vote and it would have tied and she could have had fire. We don't love forced fire making, but like, you know, we like when it plays out naturally. We missed out on that opportunity of like, oh shit, like, she votes and it ties, and then what happens next? And so this is just a case where it was just a fun blindside, fun outcome. She obviously made a mistake, but if, you know, we didn't add all these additional constraints on these idols, it just would have played out so differently. Like I still don't think she would have saved herself, but like she would have had a shot. And so it's, as far as my complaints about Survivor go, it's a minor one, because we had a great episode, but it's just the reality of the new era is that like it's you're being forced into more decisions by production. Yeah. And that's going to impact your gameplay in negative ways unless you're able to really think through that in the moment.
Yeah, I think actually there's so many good players that play Survivor that them playing in the new era, it just puts more like luck and fortune into the mix, which I don't like, right? Mm-hmm. Necessarily, because if you're a good player and you're solid, I think Michelle Fitzgerald talked about this on a podcast, which is like with all the advantages, like I think, or was it Tyson? It doesn't matter, but it was someone who was talking about like the ability to make fake idols and like how you could be a good player and you could have all the information and it, whatever, the fake idols look too real and then you have a note. And it just takes away from the essence of the game, which is like, if you are a solid player and you're smart and you're strategic and you make the right moves, like you should theoretically be able to go far in the game. And I think when you throw in the, you know, the decisions at the last minute, you know, at the voting booth and all this stuff, right? It overcomplicates the game in a way that being a good player doesn't even matter, right? It's just like, I mean, you dangle something as sexy as idol until the end of the game in front of someone, like you dangle a piece of bread in front of a starving dog or bird or person at the most critical moment and then expect them out. it's a setup.
Yeah,
that's my opinion.
Right. It's like, I would not expect anything else from Sabaya, because Sabaya is a smart player and she's thinking 20 steps ahead. Maybe that's not the right thing to do, but it is just how her brain is working in this moment. So of course she's going to, like you said, go for the piece of bread. She's going to like snap at it because it's like that, like you said, that is a more enticing thing, especially when you're convinced that people are voting the way they said they would.
Yeah. It's like the game is rewarding safe gameplay.
Yes, this is something we've been talking about since like even before the new era. It feels like twists just inherently make people not want to play as hard because if I play too hard, I'm going to be like Sabaya and go home for it. Like that's just like, that's the problem of the new era.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's annoying because she couldn't even, it wasn't even something like if we have to like further twist to get on, like Survivor's never going to go back to just normal idols, like whatever. So we have to add another twist to like make it more whatever. The idol should be, you can, wait, no, now that doesn't make any sense. but it's like the it's unfortunate that like she only got the note right as she was going to vote. And so the only option, the idol is you can either use this right now, which you don't think you need, obviously, or you can get rid of your vote. Like she didn't have, it's kind of like the opposite with Julie and Dee, where they had made a snap decision for no reason. Sabaya's forced into this decision, like, and had they had fire, she would have found out about it way ahead of time. But if she had played the idol, like her and Sean would have been safe, whatever. But there was no.
I don't even think playing the idol was on the table, though.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, I think she would have just not have it. Like she had the option to like be like, you know what, I don't need it this round. I don't want to risk my vote. I'll just keep it as a dead idol, not tell anyone it's dead.
Sure. Yeah,
and have my vote and no one knows. Like there was that option, but again, she was in the voting booth, that you can't stay in there forever. You can't talk to anyone you're working with. It's like the Shipwheel Island thing, you're just there, and you know, that's again, that's just frustrating that they think that's really interesting TV, because it's more interesting when we see people making these decisions and talking and figuring things out rather than one person gambling.
Imagine if she had read the note, come back out of the booth to like talk to Sean and Caleb, and like before going back in.
That would have been iconic. Has anyone ever tried to vacate the voting booth?
I assume that you're like under lockdown once people start voting, right?
Like there's so much nuance to that whole process. Like when you go up, when you go out to vote, you have to like go up a set of stairwells, and then you're in this like little booth, and really like you feel the pressure, right? Because everyone takes a very short amount of time to vote, right? Jeff calls your name, you go up, you vote. If someone's taking a long time, my mind is like, it's taking them so long, going on up there? Are they reading something? Like,
we had a plan.
Like, da da da. Like, yeah. Like, it just sends, like, kind of warning signals. And so you really only have a certain amount of time. And, like, I mean, once you're up there, you're up there, right? You come, you sit down. It's like the deed is done. And so, yeah, like, I don't think that that would have even been possible for her to come back down and to talk to her allies. And I think that would also send off red flags to her.
Yeah.
Sure. I also don't think it would be possible, but I feel like all week everybody was saying, like, well, why didn't she just drop it in the fire at Tribal, like the candle? And then other people would be like, it was probably against the rules for her to do that. But then she did it.
Yeah. Well, Jeff seemed to be such a, I think the word I used was sourpuss. He was like so not feeling it. I'm so confused. I'm like, Jeff, this is like great TV. Why does he, like, he seemed so like kind of over it when it was happening. He's just like, okay, there goes Sophia.
I think he had to kind of be a little more restrained because he, as far as the other players know, they don't know for sure there's an idol in there.
Sure.
Like, that could have just been a random, like, you know, like, obviously we know and Sabaya knows that there's a note and Jeff knows there is a note, but I think he probably had to, like, he couldn't be super excited about it because it would have, like, they, as far as they know, she's just burning a candle and there's nothing in there and it was,
wait, you know. I'm confused. I thought she told everyone that it was a, like, advantage inside the
game. Yeah, but as far as the players in the game know, they only have her word for it. It's like, Jeff can't, like, confirm. He can't confirm, like, I'm very, like, until, like, she goes up to play something, that there's something in there. So he had to, like, kind of be like, oh, yeah, there's something in there. Like, I think that was what you're picking up on, Derek, is, like, he was, like, kind of, I think he's, like, limited in how much he can, like, until it's played, kind of engage with the what it is.
I was just waiting for a Jeff Probst, wow.
Yeah,
that in the fire, not like,
yeah, she also kept getting up like every 5 seconds.
Yeah, I think he might have been annoyed by that.
Yeah, and like, Tribal is, it's already long, and so perhaps that kind of prolongs it and it like gets him out of his groove a bit. So I don't know, maybe he actually was just like kind of annoyed by it. It's funny, when Jeff is annoyed, you can tell, like, you're not reading wrong, you can actually tell. He definitely does get like,
yeah, having Scorpio someone meal moment. Prepping while you're trying to do your job doesn't sound very fun.
I mean, it was funny to watch. She was like, I just like, why do you think it needs to be like evenly cooked? Like, I think, yes. I guess she didn't know it was like a metal tube, so it wasn't like in danger of burning, but it's like, it was just funny. Like, it doesn't all need to burn evenly. Like, I don't know what you're doing.
And then Sean with the water bottle is so funny. Sean, handing. He's like, yes, madam.
That's me. That's my goal, is to be Sean. And if I'm ever on Survivor, it's like, I am at the beck and call of whichever like powerful woman approaches me first.
Sabaya was standing on people's backs. She was, you know, commanding for the water bottle. I hope she does come back.
I would love that, honestly.
Me too. I thought she's great.
Every season, the next season, a pre-merged person should come back.
Yes.
Is that a good twist?
Yeah, I mean, Jenny Kim.
Yes, bring back Jenny Kim. I hope her pants are even larger this time. Yeah, I mean, we could do I was going to say Drag Race, but I feel like it's more of a, well, the challenge just brings back, as far as I can tell, like 5 people from the most previous season.
Yeah, they did.
More than 5.
More than 5, literally. Whole season full of past players.
Literally.
Yeah, like it's like maybe 3 or 4 new players.
Which is wild to me. I mean, whatever. This isn't, despite what maybe people were thinking when they saw your name on here, this is not a challenge podcast. I'm not familiar with any of that. Not my groove, but, you know, good for them, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, I feel like we've really honed in on the Lulus for a little bit. The Bello Beauties, what
Kendra.
Are they up to? I love Kendra so much.
Yeah.
She is just like always. I mean, talk about someone with maybe villain potential. I don't know. Maybe the stars tell her that she needs to wreak havoc on the camp. I don't know.
She's so funny. She's a little bit unhinged. She was like all on the, was his name Jake, the lawyer guy?
Yeah.
All in on him. Then really quickly switched and like, I don't know why. I don't know why people think because someone's a lawyer, they're like inherently more threatening than someone else. It is literally the most like elementary thinking I think I've ever seen. Like, like, what does being a lawyer mean? That you read a lot? Like, you're smart? Like, I know lawyers that are not smart. I know lawyers that are just, like, have good rote memory. Like, I don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah, but it's I guess you're just, like, good at arguing is what people are scared of. But it's like, how does that help you unless you're at Final Tribal?
Yeah.
But even that is such a elementary view of what a lawyer even is. That's like just people, that's only like people who argue in court or whatever. Like, I feel like most lawyers these days are like emailing their like notes on a contract.
Yes. Yeah. Or doing reading and like, yeah, like writing. Exactly. I don't. If someone's like, man, you got to go up against a lawyer at a Final Tribal Council, if I feel like I've actually done the things to defend my stuff, like, I think that I can do that very well. Even if it was against a lawyer who did, you know, less or more or whatever, like, if you have the stuff to back it up, all you have to do is present the concepts, the things, the whatever. So yeah, I just don't love the idea that lawyers are inherently more threatening or dangerous, or salespeople are inherently more scary or anything like that. And so I'm happy that she walked that back, because I did think it was like very just elementary logic to target someone. But in a game, you are looking for literally anything to paint a target on someone. Yeah. So
yeah, it's kind of funny, like Kendra or maybe Kelly, I can't remember now, but they were like, yeah, he's not as threatening as you would expect a lawyer to be. Like, they don't like even, after they've like gotten to speak to him for a couple more days, they're like, that's actually not a good reason to target him. He's not a big deal.
Yes.
I appreciated how direct Kendra was with Jake. She was just like, yeah, I did not like you. I did not want to work with you. And I like, there's some people would say that, I mean, it's a little unhinged. Some people say that's not great gameplay, but I do think that can be, being that direct is, can be a really great way to build trust of like, yeah, listen, I just, there was a like the vibes were not there. The vibes are here now. So I really appreciated that. I'm sure she would call it like radical honesty or something. But it was like, it was in a game where people are scared to be very honest and real with people. It was very fun to see that scene of someone to be like, yeah, I didn't like you. We're good now.
Yeah. As fun as a viewer, I imagine how he interpreted it in the game. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's grateful that she switched her tune, but in the back of his head, he's like, huh, does she really like me? Is she like...
I didn't hear from him after that.
Yeah, I know. Interesting.
Curious.
It is funny though, like the girls are now... I mean, Katura obviously wants to target Bruce. The girls, as far as we know, the story on the Bella Tribe is the girls are working with Brando and they were deciding between Jake and Bruce because those are the only other two people there. And the boys are working together and they think they're working with Kelly. We don't know which side Brando and Kelly are really on yet. But like now the Kendra comes back and the girls talk while the boys are fishing and she's like, oh, I actually like Jake now. And so, like, there's only one option for who they're even going to target. And Katura still seems like she has to, like, fight tooth and nail to have them target Bruce.
Yeah. I honestly don't think Bruce is that big of a threat, though. I think that Katura's vendetta is a little bit misguided and a little bit more emotional than it needs to be. I think she's more so annoyed by him. Like, I don't see Bruce as a massive target. I don't think that that's a smart target, to be honest, but I do get her being annoyed by him.
Yeah,
it's funny.
I'm curious if like maybe we're just getting like maybe half the story. Maybe it is like, yeah, Bruce annoys me, but like Jake needs to go more or something like that. But I mean, far be it from me to question Survivor's selections when it comes to confessionals.
Yeah,
they always tell the truth. It's a documentary. They are providing the facts of what occurred.
So the Bella Tribe, I'm really curious to see how a swap affects all of that. Just all depends on, I guess, the configurations. It would be really fun to see like all these pairs get split up in a swap, but I know that's like impossible to game. But I would love to see it. It'd be funny.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm interested to see if people break apart, they find form new alliances. Like, I think a swap is going to be super refreshing. And especially after three episodes, I feel like a swap breaks the game open again. And to break it open again so soon is like just giving it more life, right? It's like just pushing the momentum. So I'm excited.
Same. And it's also, it'll be interesting to see if the, like, ways that the tribes have interacted in previous episodes affect the swap, like the people going to the journey, or in this episode, Caleb meeting everyone on the Reba tribe. Like, I'm excited to see what that all means. The Camp Raid this episode left a lot to be desired for me.
You know, I agree.
It's hard to compare to the raids of old, it was just kind of like, hey guys, like, I don't want to steal all your fishing gear, like, let's be nice kind of thing.
Bring back Diabolical Survivor.
Bring back Sandra Diaz Twine. Bring her back again, but just her as a captain.
Yes.
Caleb wanted to be a villain. This was his chance.
Yes. It was so dumb. Like, why did you take fishing gear? You can't even cook it. You don't even have flint.
Yeah, it's a strange decision. I'm also, I feel like giving him something to, like, gift to someone is automatically gonna make you more diplomatic. And just add on that it's Caleb, who seems like just an inherently, I think the word they use is like schmoozer. Like, he's not going to be aggressive, which is, we needed an Emily. We even needed, I know her tribe didn't win, but like a Kendra raid would have been hilarious.
Yeah.
So many great, like, options, and it's just like the most boring thing that could have happened, which is Caleb gets to go to the tribe where there are these other, like, smart young boys his age that he can, like, give a present to. Like, yay, how fun.
Yeah, I agree. And what did you guys think about Caleb hosting office hours?
That was we didn't get a ton of commentary on that from the Reba, but, like, that seems like really obvious, like, because you're also wondering if there's gonna be an advantage at play. Like, this, there's so many advantages at play in the new era. I feel like that just made it really obvious that even if they don't, you know, think there's an advantage, it just makes him seem like even more of a threat. Like, because I know there was how he was put in this position where he had to give an advantage away, or maybe could he have kept it and, like, just let it die? I don't know. But, like, so he's kind of forced into, like, having one-on-one conversations, but the way he went about it was very funny, and I don't think that played well.
Oh my gosh, I'm so interested. We didn't see a lot of confessionals about it, but I'm so interested to know what the tribe thought, because if I was on that tribe and someone was like, hey, step into my office one by one, I'd be like, are you serious right now? Like, what are you, the principal? Like, what's going on? Like, it's just weird.
I know. And he's not even Sean, who is an actual principal. It's like, what are you doing, my friend? Yeah, I almost am like, if I had been out there, I would have just, like, tossed it on the ground in between all of them and be like, go. Whoever grabs it.
Oh, this is Hunger Game style. That's so funny.
Or be like, hide it somewhere, and as you're leaving, be like, somewhere in your camp, there's an advantage hidden. And then just, like, leave.
That would be so funny. I mean, I honestly would have, like, chatted with people. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't have done, like, one-on-ones, but I might have, like, dapped someone up, like, wink, you know, winky winky, because I think that it paints a target on Caleb's back, because it's like, not only are you naturally charismatic, but you have gone and, like, had individual conversations with a bunch of different people, and at this point, like, what did you say? Like, I start to ruminate. And when you're out there, you start to build your own narratives in your head because you have nothing but time. And I think that, like, is something that maybe doesn't bode well for him in a merged type situation. And so I think it was, like, a very interesting move to make. I think he was very audacious with it and very bold. And so maybe we hear more about it, maybe we don't. I think because of the limited confessionals on it, it probably does fall to the wayside. In the grand scheme of the narrative that they're telling, but I definitely would not have gone about it like that.
Yeah. Like you said, he should, like, dab someone up, or, like, just, like, hand, like, just sneak it to someone. Yeah. Like, and it's like,
bag.
Yeah. He should have, like, come in, like, okay, I'm going to give this to, like, maybe he just, like, has a good vibe about Austin or whoever. Yes. And just, like, okay, at one point, I'm just going to slip it to him, and then you can have the conversation later. Like, I gave this to you, so now we're allies. Like, that honestly is a better way of forming trust than, like you said, trying to go up to every individual person and decide who is the most optimum choice.
Yeah, yeah.
I get the desire of wanting to have these one-on-ones. Like, obviously, having a 7-person conversation about what everybody does for work is not conducive to, like, forming a bond and making a new alliance on this other tribe. Yeah. But it does seem like there's they probably had very limited time that Caleb was even going to be there. And so there's no real good way to just be like, let me talk to each of you alone. Like,
yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. It's hard. It's a hard decision to be in, but I feel like we've seen it done well in previous seasons where you have to sneak something to someone else. And it really is like just off of a vibe. That is a shot in the dark though, right? Like we saw JT give Russell an idol off of a vibe, right? And it was like, you sucker. So like, it's hard, but it's a much more safer bet than I'm going to talk to everyone one-on-one. So like single file line and step into my office.
I do think that if it was an idol, that would be a bit more like understandable, but this is perhaps the least powerful advantage that has ever existed in Survivor history. Yeah. And so you have a lot more leeway with the importance of who you give it to, because ultimately it's just going to give someone back their vote if they've already lost it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, it's not that serious, Caleb. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that's just his personality, which is why he's casted and why he's fun to watch. Mm-hmm. Because he is that guy who is going to try to be the car salesman to every single person he interacts with. And everyone knows it too, which is like a fun thing to have to play around, I guess, when you're out there.
Yeah.
Ultimately, he does give it to Austin. And it just seems like everything is working out for Austin. No, but we haven't really seen him... He figured out what the note thing said, but you know, Julie gives him the axe for no reason. Caleb gives him the exact advantage he needs to get his vote back if he doesn't get the axe thing. You know, the alliance forms around him for him without him having to do very many things. He doesn't even get caught searching for the idol, so the girls are like more concerned about Drew than he is. Like, he's just like, he's living pretty and everything works out for him.
Yeah, it is interesting how the game was just kind of happening for him. So I listen, there is such a big part of the game that is literally just luck. Mm-hmm. It's like it doesn't go accounted for, I think, for like a typical viewer, but as a player, every player knows that to get to the end of Survivor, it's part luck and then part gameplay strategy, right? But I'd say 40% of it is like luck too. What tribe you end up on, the people that are on that tribe, the type of challenges that you get, like how you're steered for or towards an idol or away from it by, you know, production. Production does have a hand in how the game goes in some respects. Mm-hmm. And so like a lot of it is luck. What tribe you get switched on to.
I agree, luck is a big part of it, and but it's also like maybe Austin could like fully fumble all of this like amazing luck that he's had. Mm-hmm. But I don't see that for him, because he seems like a very smart, savvy guy. Yeah. You know, you can't help it, you know, he's from Chicago, so we just like, people just want to help us and be nice to us, you know.
Yeah. You from Chicago?
I'm like on the hunt. Every time I see Chicago, Illinois in someone's bio, I'm like, I'm going to find this person and become their best friend against their will.
Where are all of you guys located?
I'm in Brooklyn.
I'm in Montreal.
Oh.
Yes.
I'm not Canadian, though. I'm from Arizona originally. I'm fake.
All over the state. Well, no, the not the states, the continent.
The North America. Yeah, Derek lives in Chicago. We used to live really close to each other.
I know. The Christine and Derek lore, you know, Central Illinois buddies for life.
The alliance name.
I know. I'm sad that I feel like people were trying to, I mean, we got some Big Brother flavor this episode with Emily saying evicted, which was really funny. It's always funny. You're like, oh, wait. Yeah. You are not quite the person I thought you were. I know, but we haven't seen a lot of people try to bring in the alliance name of it all in a while, which, you know, I'm okay with that.
It's not really necessary, honestly. Like,
the last person who did that, you know, has sort of a cursed legacy, so we don't need to.
I don't want to think about it too.
Nick Wilson was also alliances.
Okay, maybe that's why there's a moratorium on it.
We can move past. I just want to say, before anybody replies, I misspoke, and Caleb gave the advantage to Drew, not Austin. Drew then gave it to Austin.
Yeah, because he gave it to Drew because he found out Drew had his safe truth about power. Right. And I thought that Caleb's reasoning was interesting. He's like, well, he's playing the game. he just got sent to the island.
It's like, why don't I give the guy that already has advantages more advantages?
Right.
To make them more powerful when they get to merge, I have to play against them.
Yeah,
I think Caleb probably recognized that Drew is one of the worst liars on the cast, and he was like, "Well, I can give it to him because I'll know if he's going to use it against me."
That's funny. That's funny. Yeah. But like, I now that I think about it, like, is the strategy? I imagine the strategy would be give the advantages to the underdog on the tribe because that's someone who is the most unattached that you could probably pull in.
Yeah.
When you guys merge. Versus giving it to like someone who already has advantages on another tribe that is just going to make them more powerful and they come to the merge, like, you know,
hard because this is already such a stupid advantage. it's not really that powerful. Like, if you don't lose your vote, you don't need it.
Power is relative though, right? Like, yeah. In the game, like, it could be a dumb advantage, but like when you start to rack them up and the way that the game is unfolding, right, like how you happen to have an advantage that just works in your favor because you don't have a vote or your ally doesn't have a whatever it is, right? It can curry more favor for that person, right? Him giving that advantage to his mate is only going to make his mate closer to him, right? It's only going to strengthen his relationships. And so for me, if I were to go to another tribe, right, I want to advantage the underdogs. I don't want to advantage the people who are already in power.
Or maybe someone who's
Oh, well, no, I just want to say, well, there's a risk in that because if you give it to the underdog, it could not pan out for you at all. Because if they go to tribal next and they vote out the underdog, like, then it's sort of.
That's what I was going to say. Maybe give it to the person on the bottom of the, like, structure. Like, maybe give it to a Julie, like you said, Chanel. So then it's like later on, like, they'll make it through a vote at least. And then they'll be, like, more willing to link up with you because they're still not at the top of their alliance.
Yeah, smart.
That feels like the correct move, Chanel. I agree. You don't want to give it to the guy who already has all the weapons. Like, you don't want to hand him more bullets to work with.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that makes sense. Any other thoughts on this fun? It was a very fun episode. I feel like we've talked through more of like the mechanics of what happened and not just the entertainment value, which there was plenty of. I thought it was a very funny episode.
Yeah, I thought it was fun. I thought it was great. I'm digging the 90 minutes for sure because I feel like I'm getting to know people a lot more than I would have normally. Yeah, I mean, I liked it a lot. I am excited to see a new tribe, though, like under pressure because, like, when you don't go to tribal, you are playing a fantasy game. You're doing fantasy strategizing. You're, like, you cannot strategize a true strategy until someone's life is on the line. And so I'm excited to see how the game shakes up with people experiencing the heat in the kitchen for the first time, because that's when you're going to start to see people break. And I'm excited to see Kendra under fire. I'm excited to see some of the more screen time of Jemaya. Like, I want to see what other people are going to do once, like, the game gets real for them.
Yeah, I'm excited for the swap, but I wish that at least Bello had gone to tribal. Like, I just want to know what would have happened, and now we never will.
Yeah,
but as we said, that only helps people. I think the stat I saw the other day was there are, like, only 5 winners in the history of the show that have, like, received multiple votes in the pre-merge. It's just, like, that's just... It's just inherently helpful to not have to even deal with that early on. I think one tribal is great. That's kind of perfect. You solidify your alliances, and then you know where you stand with people, and then you go into the merge with numbers still.
Yep. I agree.
Makes sense to me.
Slay.
Well, my last thought is the just final thoughts on the... We didn't really talk about the challenges at all, but the immunity challenge... Yeah. The collar thing with the puzzle. Why was there even a collar? They weren't blindfolded. I think they just forgot that was not going to be necessary.
Yeah, I was so confused by that. I was like, who put this together?
Yeah, why? I didn't even realize that that's what was happening. I was like, why? It's like, and they're like the girls 2 feet away.
Yeah, I was like, I can see the puzzle.
And it's not like a particularly like flat, wide one. Usually
you can't even see the back of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting.
Very strange. And then people responding to the end of that challenge, people on Twitter are like, that was some of the most beautiful editing I've ever seen. It's like they put sad music under someone losing a challenge. It's not that deep, everybody. Let's cool it.
Yeah, do you remember every single time the Davids lost in David versus Glide? That's what they did. Literally was like, boo-hoo.
Yeah, dang. Actually, yeah.
It's so, not some experimental art house film.
It's
an immunity challenge.
Yeah, I can really clock that because you're right. That actually was not like innovative at all.
Like, I mean, it's cute, but we don't need to throw any Oscars at it quite yet. Yeah, I agree. Challenges, aka when I check my phone, you know, they kind of just come and go for me.
Yeah, I agree.
Right, well, if that's final thoughts on the episode, we'll talk about Edric in a second. But Chanel, is there anything you want to plug or direct social media for people who are listening?
Follow me on Instagram at chanel.howell. We have the finale of the Challenge USA coming up on Thursday. Your girl is in it as a rookie. And then follow me on TikTok, chanel.howell.
There we go. I feel like we haven't talked through the, like, who's the TikTok star of the season.
Oh, like, I mean,
well, Jay Maya was one before.
Yeah, right.
Was she TikTok?
Yeah, she has, like, a ton of followers. Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. Cool.
Good. I feel like every season we've got, like, the TikTok girly. We had Shan. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we'll see people, like, post Shan in their stories. I'm like, you don't watch Survivor. You have no idea who that is.
You don't know the significance of this woman.
Yeah.
But yeah,
Jemaya's verified on TikTok.
No, yeah, she's quite
500,000 followers, so yeah. It's kind of hard to compete with that. But yeah, I feel like I haven't seen other people from her cast even come up on my TikTok yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
Well, we're gonna get Chanel. We're gonna get you to. I don't even. How do you have 500,000? We're gonna get you there.
I don't. I have like 2,000. Not many. Not as much as her. But yeah, follow your girl.
Yes. Yay. Sam, what about you? Where can people find you?
Follow this podcast at Better Jurors Pod on Instagram and Twitter. Follow me on Instagram at Sam Stanish.
Christine?
Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at The X-Teen Files. You can read my writing on Inside Survivor. Every week I write a little article with Gia Worthy, kind of rounding up the previous episode. You should listen to me and Derek's gay anime podcast, The Shadow Play Gays, talking about revolutionary girl Utena. And I have something else to plug. My fiance did a cool opera project where she commissioned a new song cycle from composer Danica Loren, setting Sappho's fragments to music, and I built the website for it. So you can go to sapphoproject.com and watch the movements of the composition in anywhere you like. It's super cool. So sapphoproject.com if you want to listen to some gay opera. Yeah.
Dang. I'm like, well, just follow me on Twitter, I guess. Yeah, Reindeerix, you know where to find me on Twitter. That's it for, well, wait, did you, Sam, listen to Sam's podcast, Buffy Boyfriend?
Oh, yeah. I didn't even say. I have a podcast, Buffy Boyfriends, with my boyfriend talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yes.
Wait, Christine, I went to a comedy show that was, like, also an opera show. One of the stand-ups that was hosting it also does opera, and so I was like, this is really the mixture of
you're like I know all about this.
Yeah, would have loved to have opera fiance there to tell me what they were saying.
That's cool, but I like went to like a Housewives improv thing, so it's like whatever.
And it's mixing our interests too.
Yes. But here comes the time where we talk about Edric. Chanel, are you familiar with the idea of Edric or yeah?
Yeah. Over the top, positive, over the top.
Name. Yeah, okay. Wow. Yeah. She knows the lexicon.
Yeah.
Glossary.
We like to keep it very loose and flowy, kind of like throughout the episode you were making references to like, oh, I wonder what that means. Like, that's kind of how we like to keep it, you know, light and airy. We don't need to go into like,
we're not making charts here.
Yeah, this person had a 4 visibility this week, not a 5, you idiot. Like, we're not doing all that. Mm-hmm. So does anyone have any really strong thoughts on like where they see the season going from an edit perspective, or who they think is winning?
My major thought is, and nobody is talking about that the previously on Survivor is back, and it's been gone for like 5 years or whatever, and suddenly it's back, and I feel like that just makes it so much easier to look at like what is being shown to us and like determine what's actually important. Like for this episode, even within the episode, but in the previously on Survivor, we're like reminded that Kelly and Brando are in the middle on the Bello tribe, and so you're like, okay, I guess that's like the storyline, like that is what I actually need to care about there. We're reminded of the Reba alliance, and I feel like it just sets the storyline so much firmer, and I actually think it makes the storytelling better on the show, because at the beginning, they're reminding viewers of where we were last week. And so if something changes in the show, they need to at least show an explanation on why that has changed. Like, if Kelly and Brando suddenly like weren't working together anymore, it wouldn't make any sense because like without an explanation. Like, we couldn't just suddenly have them voting against each other, which I feel like they've been able to just show random blindsides that come out of nowhere in the storytelling, because it's like a new episode every week and without a like a reminder of what happened in the past. And so I feel like it's just generally easier to track given the 90 minutes. And I think that's an interesting thing to look at.
I agree. I'm trying to think of like, so it's like, clearly, I think you flagged this before, Sam, but it's like clearly the like Bello women's alliance is more through Kelly's eyes, or like Kelly is kind of the figure that we should be looking at in that trio. Thank you, Chanel, for joining us. But I forget where we were. Oh my god. I love her. That's funny. That was really fun.
Agreed.
But yes, so sorry, edging. I'm feeling again, I don't know where Emily's story is going. It's like, is she winning? I feel like maybe no is like where I'm kind of starting to land. Like, I think with the second episode, it's easy to like think of like, oh, I guess like maybe we are getting like a Gabler sort of moment, but it's like, there's just like, it's too much. I think we're like hammering it home, like, wow, Emily is really changing it up. So I think I'm glad to, or not glad to, I feel good about saying, okay, it's probably not that story.
It's absolutely not Emily. And directly comparison to Gabler, like, his story was never like, he's so abrasive, he needs to change and be this mm-hmm. different person. It's like, this is who he is. Like, this is like his thing. It's not right. Like, she's really opening up. Like, it's like that. Yeah. It's never going to be her. It's never going to be that.
Right. Yeah, no, it's the, if anything, it's the journey edit. She's obviously a main mm-hmm. character of the season. I mean, what we can see, she could just end up being the main character of the pre-merge. Like, we've gotten a journey from her. It's a matter of how long that journey is going to last. But there's, I don't think there are a lot of people like running the Emily's going to win conspiracy train. And it's just, we haven't seen enough. Like, her story, I think she needs more. But again, like, the new era is so fucking weird. But I would be very surprised.
It's not that weird, I'll tell you that.
let's go back to season 43 where you guys were figuring out who was going to win and no one was saying Gabler.
Absolutely. And you got to take strong stances. I don't want to hedge all the time. I need and to say one why
Tiffany's going
to
win.
Exactly. Like, I need to start screaming at people about something. No, and the thing is, I love the girl, and I'm sure she could win a season of Survivor. What I'm seeing is that it's not this one.
This one, yes. I'm feeling really good about Dee now. After, I feel like she's been consistently good. And it's like, maybe, I think I referenced this in like a text before, but it's like, maybe it is the Erica factor. I feel like we were like, kind of, Erica was a question mark, at least for me. preseason on 41 and then she only bloomed. And I feel like we're seeing that with D. Like, obviously, Reba being the least complex tribe is, like, not great, but also so was whatever Erica's tribe was called. Yes, like, so were they. I think that was, like, the big thing people kept taking. Is like, Luvu's way too uncomplex to be the winning tribe. But I feel like the fact that every time we do go to Reba, it's, like, obviously we get a lot of Austin and Drew. But it's, like, D is just, like, so clearly, like, presented as, like, the sort of center of it all. Like, she's in all the conversations. She's in a great position. But she's also a fun character, and you also kind of want to root for her. Like, it's kind of making me excited to see where she goes. Maybe it's not a winning story, but I think she's going to really have a bigger part to play in the merge, maybe end game. I don't know.
Yeah, like, D, as it stands right now, it's just, like, hard to imagine her story be ending up being she gets blindsided. Like, she's not being set up as, like, the biggest player. She's not being set up as the biggest character, as with this, like, you know, it's not a like growth arc. It's not anything. It's just we're just being constantly shown she's very smart and noticing things. And it's, yeah, I think she for sure has one of the, like, traditionally best edits on the season. What, you know, we could be thrown a curveball, but it's hard to imagine her story goings, like, as it's been presented right now, you know, being like she's blindsided in a big way, or, like, you know, I don't know. It's just very, like, here's this person, we want you to remember who she is. She's really smart and making correct reads. Make of that what you will.
And she's in power, and she's, like, people like her, and she has a big foot.
Yeah.
I know. It almost feels like these are scenes that would have maybe been cut in a 60-minute and it's, like, only good for her that they, like, were, like, maybe thinking, let's throw a D scene in here now that we have more time to do that. It almost feels like a could be like a, I don't know if I'm using the phrase right, mea culpa for, like, the Erica edit. Like, sorry, we, like, under edited your girl. Here's us trying to rectify that with D. So yeah, I'm really liking D. I feel like Kelly, I'm like, would love to see more. I think it's only good for her that we do have a great alliance with Brando there, and she has other connections. Could see a hate to invoke her, but Sarah Lacina style, like, she's always in the middle making, like, big decisions kind of edit.
And I think it's still good for Brando too. I feel it's framed, it's all framed with Kelly, but I mean, Brando's there. I feel like this episode was horrendous for Drew.
I feel like
if it was Drew, I mean, there was no reason to frame the fine. They did not even have to show him being figured out, like, or, like, being seen digging. I think that it's great for Austin. It feels like everybody still loves Austin, and he was compared to JT in the last episode, and people are falling all over themselves to give him stuff and give him the game. So I see it for him too.
Yeah, D and Austin on Reba, I think, are the big selling points. Yeah.
Yeah, and as we kind of mentioned, like, we've been talking about, like, Keturah's storyline right now is very one note with the Bruce thing. I think this swap's going to be important for her because, yes, it's not great that all of Keturah's content so far, pretty much, apart from her figuring out Jake, has been, like, hating Bruce and being very, very much a hater, which we love, but it's not a great winner story. But on the one hand, the edit is really supporting that Bruce is acting this way.
Yes.
That she's not being, like, you know, it's not being undermined, but, like, she needs something other than that. Her story can't just be, I hated Bruce all the way to the end. You know,
so it's like, Sandra's done it before.
This is true, but it's, I think we'd all agree, it's not enough to, like, be like a winner. So, like, this swap's going to be really important for her, whether it ends up being her making a move against Bruce or, like, getting a story outside of this dynamic. I think it's not, there's nothing to rule her out right now, but it wasn't great that was just a more of the same content of, I don't like Bruce, even though
agreed. It's like this episode, it's like, it's awesome and great. Like, if it had just been that one episode, and then maybe we get another confessional, but then we also get more of the Keturah, like, quilt, like, we need a full picture. So I agree. That is concerning, but like you said, it's also like, it's not, I'm not counting her out at all. Like, I feel good about her. She's like, to me, it's Kelly, Keturah, Kendra are, like, the girlies ranked. Brando is probably above Kendra.
I would have Brando above Couture also, but I mean, for Kendra's now. Just definitely not in my mind at all for winning.
Oh no, I'm just thinking of like who's benefiting from the fact that they like really hammered home the like Girls sure. Alliance. It's Kelly, Katura, Kendra.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like the most important thing is that Brando and Kelly are in the middle.
Yeah,
that's the storyline from Bello. We never saw them vote, so that's like the thing that they want us to remember.
Very Korong, like it never mattered that the women were aligned on there, exactly. But we learned about it anyway. I'm very excited. I feel like this is just like a really well edited season so far, and I hope mm-hmm. it stays that way. It does remind me of Korong in that it's so balanced. I think episode two, people said it's like the first episode two in like a long time that everyone got a confessional in it.
I think ever,
which is insane. I understand. It's like we set up stuff in episode one, give everyone something, and then two, we hone in. But it's just so great to hear from everyone and know who everyone is, and it's making me very excited.
With 90 minutes, it's
they really better be doing that. Yeah,
like, I mean, but just like in a normal season, like trying to give even 15 people confessionals for no reason in a regular episode, it seems unnecessary. Yes, and so, but yeah, sure. I think that with the 90 minutes, absolutely. But then it's like, well, there's even fewer people. Why did Jay Maya and Sifu not get a confessional at all?
I know. I feel bad. I feel like it's like so not happening for either of them, obviously. I feel like Julie. Oh, I feel like it's not there for Julie either, even though it's like on paper, it's like there's nothing like terrible about her. And it's just like we just don't get enough of her. And it's always D and Julie. It's like it makes me a bit sad because she seems like such a fun character and is clearly in like a great position on her tribe with like two really solid like twosomes. And she's in this like big four, too. So makes me say it.
Period.
I feel like I had one more. Oh, well, should we? I mean, do you guys have any thoughts on Caleb? I feel like there's like he's seen through too much and like not, it's not like gonna happen for him.
It's like happening. I feel like we only ever got like Sabaya and Caleb. Like this whole like Sabaya turning on Caleb thing was purely through Sabaya's perspective. Caleb just like kind of was treated like it was more like Emily giving Caleb information than it was like Caleb saving himself in this moment. Which is like for a man, like a young man, like he would be presented as like the like God who like saw that Sabaya turned on him and like turned it around on her, you know.
Why are you as a man being saved by Emily?
By Emily. Yeah, I don't, yeah, like I said, Emily. I just feel like the Lulus, they got a lot of
losers. That's what it is.
Or Sean
losers.
Sean getting the crying edit is so funny. He's just always crying over everything. It makes me giggle. Oh, I love him.
He's another silent one. He's, you know.
Silent but sobbing.
Silent you know? But sobbing and handing over the canteen.
Yes, canteen. What a canteen.
They were so ready for it. And like it was on fire on the ground.
Mm-hmm. On fire with Jeff Probst.
That's what I was trying to get at in my intro. But
yes,
it didn't work.
That's okay. That's a full circle moment. Any other thoughts on Ejika? Nothing.
No.
Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Chanel, so much for joining us.
Chanel left.
Yes, sorry.
We were laughing because
our girly had to dip, which is totally fair.
While Sam was talking, she's like, "I have to go."
And I didn't see the message, and so I just saw suddenly someone disappeared, and then I looked down, and I like couldn't. I was laughing so hard. Very funny. But she was amazing.
She's amazing.
We love you, Chanel, so much. So thank you for joining us. Thank you all for listening. And we will see you all next week for hopefully another humdinger of a Survivor episode.
Yep. Swap vibes.
Swapiana. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.